Hello, and good evening out there. The time is 8 o'clock Eastern. This is November 7th, 2018, and this is the debut broadcast of Revision Media. I'm your host for tonight and station manager, Richard Carey. And my show is Arcane Semantics. Now, I would like to first say hello again to anyone out there who might be familiar with my previous broadcasts. I've been on a couple of platforms prior to this. I had been on Truth Cat Radio. Now, my show there was Beyond the Matrix. And I started there a little after Steven began the station. That was July of 2016 that I began broadcasting there. And I, you know, had a lot of good experiences, you know, got a lot of good information out, but most importantly, connected with a lot of wonderful people and become close with a lot of wonderful people, including Stephen D. Kelly himself. So, you know, first and foremost, I would like to tip my hat off to Stephen and, you know, thank him for, you know, for everything you know, that he contributed to in what I've been trying to work at along the way here. And we are still in communique. And, you know, we'll have to update each other on things in the near future. Now, there were a lot of great people I interacted with on Truth Cat Radio. Like I said, a lot of my guests, and we had a lot of great listeners, you know, some great callers as well. And everyone seems to have a bit of the puzzle, you know. Connecting seems to be the most important thing that we can do to initially facilitate all of this. I had been on another platform as well, and this was overlapping a bit, but at TruthCat I was there for a year and a half about, and overlapping, like I say, I was on a Renegade Broadcasting, they're called. They get a lot of European listeners and American listeners, and I know of a lot of people who've tried hosting a show over there, you know, for whatever length of time, have come from other places. There's this one gentleman who used to be on RBN, Republic Broadcasting Network, and I thought that was a pretty interesting, you know, pretty good recommendation, because I'm someone who does appreciate their content. I have had Michael Rivero on my show, for that matter, and the station manager owner, John Stadmiller. He's an excellent gentleman as well, but I had heard of an RBN gentleman going over to Renegade Broadcasting. Another person I had interviewed on Truth Cat Radio had also been over there hosting a show for a bit, I heard. And, you know, I don't know, a lot of people can have problems with, you know, different content, different talking points, points of view on certain subjects. And, you know, although independent media, you know, at its best does provide a free speech platform, of course, you know, there are always certain types of, directions and focus a given station will try to provide. You know, Well, basically, that's pretty much how I left Truth Cat Radio. I just there were a lot of things I just didn't see completely eye to eye on with Stephen regarding some of the guests I enjoyed having on, wanted to have on some more. Just some of the content and points of view of these people, and just I don't know, some of the exclusionary sort of ways I saw just some of the people around that atmosphere being. But I ran into a lot of the same thing, but really even more so when moving on to the other platform. And there's a lot of positive things I could say, about a great deal of these media platforms, and I'm certainly not going to focus on criticizing them. I basically connecting, with people, even if you don't see eye to eye completely, is very important to me. I said that 2 years ago, like 2.5 years ago now, when I started on Truthcat with Beyond the Matrix. But I mean, I basically wanted a wider amount of opinions, people I would interview as guests and content, than some of these platforms in some direction or another would go. And it got to the point where I did want a good fusion of everything and to keep contacts with everyone worth keeping in touch with, and take it from there with all of the all of the wonderful people I've met along the way. I want to keep building on that, but we don't have to agree 100% all the time, for you and I to interact on whatever media platform, to be each other's guests and that sort of thing, whatever, that's a big problem out there. There's a lot of exclusive, exclusionary, sort of tendencies that we see. And I do believe that a lot of those in power, from various places up, you can use your imagination, But I do believe that a lot of this is provoked or incited even further, sometimes completely fabricated from the start. And of course, a lot of people can be manipulated by a herd mentality, a cult sort of divisiveness exists in too many of these independent media platforms. Now, that's already the one of the big problems with the corporate media, and the government and the way they treat us, corporatism, the way these corporations think of us, the banks, the Zionists, all of these. So we don't need more of that in the independent media. This divisiveness, it gets in the way of the sort of connecting I'm talking about and progress really being made, because the more you have this sort of exclusivity with anything and everything, these little camps, just the more no one will ever get along. Now, to get things done, you don't side with everyone. Don't get me wrong. There are a lot of important issues in the world today. And anyone who's listened to, what I've broadcast on either platform will agree that, I do have opinions and stand by what I believe in. But I want this platform to be a very strong example of, being able to even have people on, that we don't agree with 100%, all the time. We want to be able to debate people and not be an all or nothing sort of little, divisive, self-defeating sort of paradigm. This is cult behavior, and we see it in so many forms. Now, I actually just published an article on the website, revisionmedia.org here, for anyone who wants to get a chance to take a look at it sometime. And it does deal with a lot of these exact issues, And I think it describes it even better than I could ad lib here. And I don't want to take up too much time sticking to one thing, but definitely with launching of a new platform here, I want to say welcome to any potential listeners or who may build to our audience toward the future, and look forward to a long, healthy, and mutually beneficial relationship. You will notice there's a call-in number that is functional. It's supposed to be able to take international calls even, I believe. And especially for the U.S., you should have no issue with that. If someone did want to contribute, I do want this to be a platform that can be very interactive and, stays away from the sort of elitist tactics that we see so much with the corporate media, because so many are becoming hybrids out there in the independent media these days, I mean, it's really staggering, how much people can change over time, even in spite of this awakening. And that is something I would like to touch on. I mean, we have had a strong increase in just the amount of people who have been active in the independent media. I mean, it's really been growing more than just sort of niche it was back, in the 80s or 90s, the days of William Cooper. That is someone I would like to tip my hat off to as well. William Cooper and his book Behold a Pale Horse was groundbreaking for its time. People will hear a few other names out there more prominently thrown around when it comes to just being a pioneer in the truth media, independent media. But, I really think that William Cooper is not given credit enough, is not cited enough. And actually, he'd be higher on my list than a lot of the others I refer. I was mentioning some of the other upcoming plans. We do have a couple of hosts who are coming on that I have confirmed. You'll notice Monday we have someone on the schedule. It's Stephen Douglas Whitener. And Stephen has done a lot of interviews with me in the past. He even did a few broadcasts on Truthcat Radio with his own show. But things didn't exactly work out, differences and that sort of thing. And so he didn't stick around, for too many shows. But I had been in touch. We'd been becoming better. We had become quite a bit more acquainted, ever since then. I had him on, as I say, for quite a few interviews by this point, and he's going to be doing his own show here. And so that'll be the show is Stephen Douglas Whitener, and that'll be Mondays. So we look forward to that, definitely. This is, going to be excellent. I think, anyone who's checked him out from anything in the past he's done with any of the interviews he's given, I'm sure would agree he'll have some great things in store for us in future. He had tried to expose a company. There's a class action lawsuit. These corporations harming the environment and the workers who they exploit. A typical story. This was a company called Aquatech, back around 1989 to 1990 primarily. And this sort of corporatism is becoming all too rampant these days. I mean, these trade treaties, so many types of restrictions out there now, and laws that protect these corporations, no matter what harm they do, it's really as bad as it ever has been throughout history as far as just you know, how much it's institutionalized and on the books for this amount of corruption. Some people would call it from the elite. You know, others have different focus. I know the Zionists are a big issue, and Jewish lobby groups of all sorts. That's something that's not talked about enough. So, you know, on this station, you know, there's certainly nothing we shy away from. As far as the corporate tyranny, in that essay, that article, I used the word empire. I found it to be a very fitting word. Now I don't want to take credit entirely. I should give credit where credit is due to Neil Kramer on that one. He does savor the word empire quite a bit in a lot of his writings and also his various podcasts and interviews. Someone I admire quite a bit, certainly, among the modern-day shaman, mystics, what else you call them, seers, Gnostics. Well, Neil Kramer is definitely among, you know, those I would highly recommend for anyone who would like to research such. Another good example of that would be John Lash. You know, John Lash, he doesn't back away from many topics either. He's a very well-read, well-rounded scholar and researcher, and he's translated the creation myth of the goddess Sophia. And, you know, this, you know, relates very much to the source. You know, that this is discussed very much with the teachings of the chakras and this you know, divine consciousness, this unifying sort of consciousness that many have researched over the eons and across many cultures. You know, I mean, this goes back to many ancient European folk pagan pre-Christian tribes and cultures, and of course it had been spread throughout many lands and by many people. Of course, it's become very well known and associated with Hinduism and India. Of course, that's actually, you know, far more universal when you look back in history, and that's something we need to look into more. One of the strong motives of this media platform, in addition to getting out all this information, connecting everyone and their perspectives, their ideas, their information, is also just a reconnecting of that which empire has tried to disseminate, obliterate for so long. I've had discussions with a close friend recently on this very thing. That is the separation of the scientific and the metaphysic. Now, I know a lot of people out there, you know, might be focused on a lot of the issues of today, how it affects their lives. And that's why a lot of these political polarities, of course, can exploit with a lot of divisiveness and hyper-exclusivity. But nonetheless, I understand a lot of the practical concerns. I mean, especially people who may have families and such, you know, concerned about their safety, they have to focus on, you know, things they can, you know, be certain, you know, are of relevance to them, to their immediate life, and to the here and now. You know, and you know, there's only so much time a lot of people may have to dig deeper, but certainly the spiritual, philosophical, psychological side of things, including that metaphysic knowledge, that metaphysical knowledge is very precious, and you know, our culture needs to retain that as well in the long run. And it doesn't have to be every member of society who, who helps preserve and spread, a lot of this. Like I say, everything is prioritized, and a lot of people have different concerns. But certainly, to evolve further and to not let empire become all-consuming, we very much do need to find a way that we can merge these once again. Scientific and metaphysic have been intentionally separated. This goes back to pre-1900s, early 1900s, especially as an era where there was a lot of attention given to this, being separated. People would be inclined to put all their research into one or the other, but never both. And the two were mutually exclusive, where if you subscribed to most of one, you couldn't believe, or rather hold, even to be possibly the case or relevant the other. And of course, this was done to manipulate the masses, and is to this day. As much of the divisiveness I speak of in all of these forms. But the sort of cult mentality is a herd mentality. It's a collectivist mentality that does serve those who wish to retain manipulation of society. We need to break free from that by each having our own opinion, rather than taking it from a mass soundbite. We have all these engineered incidents. I mean, this year was ridiculous with the amount of engineered events, various shootings, and in some cases people die, in some cases people do not die. It's intentionally mixed up like that to throw you off, but I mean, just the level to which we are lied to about our reality on a daily basis now is, it seems like it may have reached an all-time high. The technology seems to facilitate it, but make us more aware. It's up for debate, whether or not empire all along has been working this hard to deceive. But certainly, more than ever, as much as ever, these days, folks, we do need to keep aware. Try to make your own judgment, don't expect, someone to be the one with all of the answers for every topic and everything you could have concern for. That should be you. You use the input from many people. You might agree with quite a few on a good many things. But, you don't want to just, expect someone to figure everything out for you, or even expect that person could exist. Let me put it that way. That's the best way to understand what I'm saying. You want to look at, a lot of different opinions, or at least quite a few good sources, at least using your instincts on a given matter. Make your own decision. Don't let it be made for you. It's ridiculous these days, the amount the term fake news is thrown around. Everyone by now has possibly heard the term conspiracy theorist as well. That was, for those of you who might not be aware yet, that was created by our three-letter agencies after the Kennedy assassination started getting serious investigation, by the various inquisitive members of the population, as a means of shrugging it off as, implying someone could conjure something out of nothing from, and try to find that in everything, This was something that was actually rather effective, branding someone a conspiracy theorist. But I think we're moving away from that. You know, I think we're really reaching saturation where, you know, these powers that be, so-called, are starting to really get concerned, if not running scared to some extent. The amount the independent media with technology, you know, just keeps growing. And we need to just keep building on generations that pass on these same principles, you know. But definitely we need to spread more of the sort of attitude that, well, here in the U.S., I'm very thankful to be broadcasting from and a citizen of, with our free speech laws. We need to spread this level of free speech, you know, to more and more countries. This is of the utmost importance with the internet and the state of things in the world right now. There's an attempt at a big permanent crackdown on dissemination of information like never before. So this is the time where everyone needs to get more active, you know. It's not like I decided, hey, you know, instead of just being a host, I'm going to start doing my own radio show, you know, to start making loads of cash. You know, I mean, yeah, independent media, you know, my quick ticket to billions, right? Not at all, you know. I felt it was necessary, like I say, you know, more than ever with what we've been dealing with lately. You know, so it is an important thing, but I'm very positive in that, you know, just the amount that people are starting to question, you know, all of this social engineering is really reaching its breaking point, reaching its threshold, and it just can't be stopped. You know, I think ever since 2012, there's been a very strong amount of energy and just connection people have had with their instincts more and more. A lot of people in different ways from one another, not all, you know, utilizing in all the same ways. But, you know, certainly as the years move on since then, you know, this is 6 years on now from 2012, going on 7 years on. As I mentioned, I know a lot out there are not too much concerned with the metaphysical side of things, but for those who are and have already tried to keep sensitive to or aware of some of these things, there definitely has been a strong surge, you know, in what we can detect even. I think it goes beyond our five senses, and this gets into the metaphysical again, and as I mentioned, the chakras and all the teachings that we can have from this universal consciousness. You know, but I mean, I do want a diverse platform here, is also what I'm trying to convey in this debut broadcast. You know, so I mean, a lot of the relevant issues to today, as I mentioned, for people, you know, with very valid concerns, you know, in our countries, such as for that of their family and their family's future. I mean, look at this insane immigration that we have, which seems like it's a warfare tactic at this point, you know, both in Europe and in America. It's a warfare tactic. It's not racist to say that, okay? If you really have researched how things have been changing, you know, the quality of the individuals coming in is another factor. You know, it's compounded by that. I mean, this is not, you're not getting the best and brightest from these countries. Those people usually want to stay in those countries. This is also being orchestrated. And I'm tired of George Soros being a scapegoat, you know, because it's far more than just George Soros. There's so much that is at play in this demographic replacement that is being attempted here in the white nations, the European nations, and in the U.S. here, which had a very large percentage being, you know, white European up until the 60s, it was a, you know, very large number. as far as the percentage, and the amount that that had been attacked and now increased is, well, you know, you can't be wrong for questioning it, wanting to stop it, no matter what the race is, you know. I mean, it's not racist to be calling this out, you know, even if they're white. And that's a brainwashing tactic we've had from Empire, you know. This double standard, you know, like you see with Antifa groups, for example. This ridiculous double standard that's out there. But George Soros has been a ridiculous scapegoat by this point. I mean, I hear so many callers to shows all the time now. Excuse me for a second, folks. And they will discuss these sort of occurrences, you know, like the demonstrations with the Antifa, a lot of this orchestrated immigration, and they'll say, oh, you know, why isn't George Soros in jail? You know, why is he getting away with this still and everything? I'm not questioning that he isn't someone who has a lot of wealth and is putting money into it and is publicly admitting it. But it's so confirmed by many sources just how many others are at play. This will be mentioned occasionally, but then people forget it. It's in one ear and out the other by this point. I don't know, and maybe he's just the most politically correct person to cite, you know, like the way a lot of people will complain about Trump for their points of view and their concerns not being met. But, you know, really, the United Nations, by this point, it's very confirmed. You can find the documents out there on the internet. The United Nations is orchestrating, for example, this migrant horde coming into the U.S. from the southern border currently, Honduras via through Mexico for the most part. This is the United Nations working toward replacement level immigration. This isn't just George Soros. And on top of that, I mentioned Zionism, the Zionists, and there are so many Jewish lobby groups out there that work for the Zionists' goals. It has to be remembered as well. You know, it's not just someone who's openly saying, I'm a Zionist, is the issue. And you're not an anti-Semite to say this, you know, to say that you don't want any group to have such control. And when you have all these lobby groups out there, all these Jewish lobby groups, it'll do all of the bidding of the Zionists, you know, including this very powerful anti-white sentiment in the culture and in the immigration attitude, you know, saying we have to get rid of these countries, you know, get rid of these white countries is what a lot of these people are promoting. And that can't be tolerated, you know, it wouldn't be tolerated if it were any other race, you know, let me put it that way. So how is it tolerated, you know, where the whites don't deserve countries anymore? It's really insane. It really is an insane double standard, but it's existing more and more. I mean, and the young generation in schools, the indoctrination is just growing more and more regarding the anti-white sentiment. And then, of course, a big one, and perhaps the most dire one to correct with the children and the school system, would be the gender confusion and this whole gender agenda. I mean, not only would Empire love for every citizen to be a mix of all the races in their bloodline in future to control just this one streamlined hybrid, they would really love more and more confusion so people don't have time to question or challenge authority, you know, on any kind of structured level in regard to the state. You know, they're just caught up in their own life, trying to figure out if they're a male or female, because ever since you know, early grade school, their teachers, the curriculum, especially with Common Core, has been insisting that they have classes where they do the opposite activities traditional to male or female, cross-dress even, question very heavily, you know, if you are a male or female or one of these many, many categories they're inventing that are somewhere in between now, that they're standardizing for children, that they're showing them in classes. You know, they're taking up a large amount of time as well. You know, not just politicizing them, you know, to hate Trump or whatever, but even this sort of thing, where their gender is being questioned for them, very often before they're even reaching puberty, it's just insane. I mean, past generations, at the very least, didn't have to deal with this. You know, as much as I'm positive toward the future, we do have a lot of challenges. We need to spread a lot of this information. Make sure people know how bad it's already been getting. I mean, you know, they test out stronger and stronger policies of social engineering in certain areas first, usually testing grounds that seem to be very tolerant, you know, like Sweden, Los Angeles. Those are some good examples. But soon enough, it gets implemented in more and more, especially the megacities and moving on. And yeah, this whole gender confusion sort of tactic, you know, to keep you too confused to question, as I say, you know, any of your living conditions and your situation with the state, with the corporations and corporatism, with a potential one-world government and censorship and loss of all your freedoms, you know, because you're just so concerned with whether or not you're male or female, you know, or whether which of the, you know, subtle halfway points you need to be defined as your goal now, you know, for the next 6-10 years, or to recover from that confusion, you know, once you get away from the school, you know, at the very least. And that is another thing. I mean, these people these children, you know, I mean, to have all this at such an early age, introduced to them in such ways, it interrupts the normal way of development, you know, so we have to stop that. We have to stop that in a hurry, you know. And, you know, the EU, these trade treaties, they try to standardize more and more totalitarian control over the school curriculum. So the school curriculum is mandatory, you know, just like Common Core kind of approach everywhere, as much as possible to condition, you know, a generation that will be compliant and not realize they ever had freedoms, you know, to question or to try to get back. So, you know, we definitely need to put an end to all of this, you know, by spreading the word so that in a generation or so by now, you know, no local district or municipality's citizens will tolerate it. You know, they'll also insist on knowing the child's curriculum, you know, their children's books, what they're teaching them, what they're sending them home with homework. This is very much something they're trying to not allow the parents to be aware of anymore. You know, it's getting more and more extreme. Even bring them up on charges if the parent tries to find out what the child is being taught in school. If they're, like, you know, trying to go through their books, look at their books, learn what the child's being taught. So it's definitely a big issue, and one that we all very strongly need to address. I'm going to just see how these connections are working here, folks. Sorry that we weren't. Hello. Can you hear me?
Are we live on there?
Yeah, we are. You know, I think you might come through okay. So let's just try it out, all right? I'm glad you were able to come on. We'll get a better connection figured out next time, okay?
Oh, definitely. I think I heard myself on the playback or as soon as we got off the phone. Don't know how much the audience got to hear, but I'm absolutely stoked that you got your own show now and doing your own thing now. You know, it's been a long time coming since you've been at Truth Catch all the way to Renegade. You know, 2.5 years of being in this truth business, and it's great that you're finally doing your own thing. And I wish I had a bottle of Freno to celebrate, you know, Poland 1941. If people don't know what that is, it's tulip wine.
Excellent. Well, thank you. And for those who don't know, this is Raleigh Quaid. Raleigh Quaid, and he's written a lot of very, very important articles, I think, exposing a lot of things that most people don't even hear about enough, dig deep enough into. And he's been a guest of mine a number of times, and he's done shows, hosted his own shows as well, on a Renegade Broadcasting. And yeah, Raleigh Quaid, please introduce yourself to the audience.
Well, I've been with Renegade. I started with them. I called Kyle up, or I shot him an email telling him who I was, and I told him that I had these predictions for an upcoming fight between an MMA fighter named Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather. Kyle wasn't the only person I emailed to. He was the only one that kind of took the bait or, like, would bite to allow me to be on a network to talk about it. And I had this idea in my head from a lot of media talk, you know, and I've been in the fight business myself. I'm semi-retired now. I'm taking like one or two fights a year, but you know, not really, like, you know, at this pace that I, you know, I'm not taking like one every month like I used to. But I really thought in that the fight between Mayweather and McGregor was going to be a rigged fight, and sure enough, if you've seen the fight, it looks rigged and staged. And I hung around with Renegade, you know, a little while longer. I kind of, it was just a bucket list thing to just do Renegade and move on with my life and do other things, sort of. But I like the taste of doing, like, live radio and talk radio. And I went on and discovered that I had a talent to be able to put material together fairly quickly to kind of read between the lines and dissect and eviscerate, you know, the narrative and create my own narrative based on scattered puzzle pieces out there.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I've been blown away by some of the dirt you've dug up on people. Some of the types of information and how you've put things together as well, like a detective, you know, a classic Sherlock Holmes type detective might. Now, I remember, for one, Julian Assange, you had covered in some of your articles, some very interesting information. Could you share some of that with the listeners?
Well, if you're one of the Q crowd, I got to separate you with my research from what you guys have researched. They believe that John Bolton has secretly dug a hole in the embassy in London and dug out Julian Assange, and he's safe with the neocons now. You know, that's part of the Q conspiracy. If you're deep in that, you already know that.
All right. Well, but, no, I'm not.
It's, I believe that the whistleblowers, and if you look at a lot of Hollywood movies, you know, they paint these whistleblower guys as, like, beacons of truth. You know, almost like 1984 Emmanuel Goldstein's, you know, set in the place to be controlled opposition. Because if you read 1984, Winston got to the point where he's like, you know, Emmanuel Goldstein doesn't even exist. And he's the leader of the opposition party in 1984. And then he got to thinking, you know, why would Big Brother, you know, create opposition, you know? But that's exactly what we got with whistleblowers like Julian Assange. You know, he's created. He's a media creation, you know, and the Mockingbird program.
So, yeah, I mean, you believe he was, everything's been orchestrated with what we're told of his life. You're not buying it at face value. I mean, you can question his persona, his person, you know, if he's always been that person, even.
Even if you look at Donald Trump, he's a reality star. You know, everything he owns is a prop. You know, he's a media creation as well. I mean, he's been put in a place to be the royal family of America, you know, the Trump dynasty.
Well, they have an interesting thing going right now. I mean, he's doing everything the Zionists would want, you know. I mean, Israel has a strong sense of nationalism, excluding, you know, other races like the Palestinians and this sort of thing, and they can be aligned with Trump's immigration policies. And then, you know, he moved the embassy to Jerusalem, and it created such an uproar just when things could have toned down in the Middle East. And yet, of course, you know, there are also tons of Jewish lobby groups on the other side working against him, with this ultra-liberal promoting of candidates who, you know, are even just condoning people to kill him and this and that. You know, just ridiculous sort of extremes like that. And it's just crazy, you know, these days, you know, what we're seeing out there from the corporate media. But there is a battle. There are definitely two camps, you know, one for Trump and one against him. But he's certainly not the overall savior, but it's a move in the right direction for us to start electing more and more alternatives to what they throw at us. You know, that's what it seemed like at the time, at least. And if it does seem like that for most people, it just shows where they're willing to put their vote. You know, and maybe next time they'll get someone who wasn't constructed if he was in some way. So, you know, yeah, I'm open-minded to all of you, all of what you say as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you look at Israel, you know, that line that they're going to have the subway to go to the Wailing Wall is actually going to be named after Trump. So let me get this straight. You know, the man that's like the ultimate, you know, dog-whistling anti-Semitic leader, you know, the Jews in Israel are going to be on the Trump train riding over to the Wailing Wall. You know, you can't even, like, I can, you know, truth is more strange than fiction, you know?
Yeah.
You can't even make this stuff up. And you really hit the nail on the head, you know, what you just described. And, you know, people really can't see that, you know, this administration is absolutely not on the issues at all. You know, as Trump really took an effort to rebuild the infrastructure that's crumbling in front of our eyes, if you've been in the Midwest, the roads have a lot of potholes and need a lot of care, you know?
Oh, yeah. He's not helping the economy. It's already, yeah, been 2 years, and he's not helped the economy at all. They just keep lying about, like, how bad it is. But I hear a lot of figures are worse than 2008 already. So they're right back worse than where they were then.
Right. And he's only devoted to destroying everything that Obama sort of created. You know, Obama, love him, hate him. Whenever Barry's in the White House, I knew he wasn't for me. When Nani's in the White House, I know he's not for me also. But he should be just devoted to bringing, you know, affordable health care to the people. I mean, why do we have this intuition that we think we're not good enough to afford health care or have a living wage as white Americans, you know? As conservatives, whatever you want to brand us, you know, why are we not good enough? Why don't we expect more from the government?
Yeah.
You know, the GOP shouldn't be the party of the ultra-rich in the trailer park.
Right. Well, I mean, people play to different extremes, you know, but, you know, they don't really have a good blend of, you know, the positive qualities. I mean, you know, when people are always going to be so divided in their two-party system there, you know, because it's all set up where, you know, neither is the right choice, you know?
It has definitely been set up like a tribal system, and people that technically have the same culture, you know, we all like Led Zeppelin, right? we all like to go to hockey games, right? You know, white people generally have the same culture, but when you get into these, like, nitty-gritty political ideas, we just form two different tribes, and it's people that you eat turkey with at Thanksgiving and normally get along with, but if you get into what you believe, they become your worst enemy. They hate you, you know, and it's absolutely appalling. And, you know, Bill Cooper defined a politician as somebody who promises you the world and delivers you absolutely nothing. You know, so we can't even expect anything from anybody we ever elect, you know. It's the establishment, and they're you're all in the same club.
Well, Rolly, I think an important fact people forget is that, you know, I mean, a lot of people have tried to criticize things about, you know, the founding fathers. But I mean, the first, you know, a couple dozen or so presidents there, I mean, most of that era had people who had day jobs. You know what I mean? It's like this was a service they each took their turn to do. But they were already, you know, they were the property owning class, the bourgeois, at the very least. I mean, a republic is what this country was, not a democracy. So it was mostly the people who were well educated and with the best, you know, of everything at their disposal to be able to make the best decisions for the way the country was going. You know, I mean, a pure democracy winds up being a mob rule over time, where uneducated masses can make a country deteriorate. So that is something to keep in mind. But in addition to that, it was, as I say, you know, a service they were providing, but it wasn't their day job. They already had a, you know, a livelihood that they were, you know, doing well enough from and went back to after said, you know, time serving as president, you know. And I mean, you know, I know there are a lot of things you can criticize about a lot of them. I'd say Andrew Jackson. I'd have trouble finding anything I could find at fault with, you know, save his reputation. You know, there are some problems with others, but for the most part, I mean, these were much better people to have in such roles than anything like we've had since then. You know, I mean, sure, John F. Kennedy seems like he may very well have been a good exception, you know. I mean, some of his policies were so strongly against empire, as I sum it up with the one word there, that, you know, it's hard to deny that he was someone he was a wild card that they didn't expect. But even he came from big money, you know what I mean, if you look into it. But, I mean, he did question some things. I mean, he was strongly against Israel attaining nuclear weapons. You know, I mean, and he had issued his own greenbacks, you know, debt-free currency, no less, to help the economy, stimulate the economy. And, yeah, the private central banks saw that as an instant threat. They don't need that to catch on worldwide, especially with such a populist president like he was. You know, very much the same thing that got them so upset about Adolf Hitler, you know, who had issued his own debt-free currency, you know, which was which value was the basically the future labor of the people of the nation, you know, and the private central banks, yeah, just like then with Kennedy, certainly weren't going to let that start trending, so to speak, for other nations. But yeah, and also Kennedy being strongly against Israel getting nuclear weapons. So what are your thoughts on Kennedy, Rolly? Because, I mean, he did come from big money, you know, from generations prior to him.
I got to make my thoughts really quick because I got to get going off the phone.
Okay.
Pretty quickly. But one thing I got to say is, like you said, you know, he fought against the empire and he's also shot dead in front of his wife. You know, the empire doesn't play, you know. If you go against the grain, you know, your life is at stake. If you're making real change, you know, you're a liability, you know, you're liable, you're not going to be able to survive, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I appreciate
it.
Thank you so much.
All
right. I'll talk to you soon, Rolly. Have a good night. That was a good, contribution Rolly had there. And, yeah, I apologize to him for the connection we had tonight, folks. I actually had a couple other options that were sounding better. For some reason, didn't work at the last minute here, wouldn't you know? And so I had to just resort to another connection really quickly there. Hopefully it came off all right. Yeah, this was a gentleman that I had a lot of good interactions with on one of my previous stations over at Renegade Broadcasting there. And he's, as I am, you know, moving on, since that really is not a place, you know, where someone with the best intentions I describe can shine, you know. But definitely everyone has contributed brilliant things, you know. I can only say that there are definitely very inspiring positive qualities in both of the platforms I've been on, and a lot of the information they've tried to share on quite a few topics, you know, and do mean well in a lot of their focus, you know, each in their own way. I mean, as I say, these platforms all seem to have, you know, different agendas that aren't always completely compatible, can be a bit mutually exclusive too often for independent media these days. You know, the divisiveness, once again, I can't say enough, has to go. You know, we don't need this self-defeating divisiveness in the independent media. It goes against everything I would say that the independent media needs to stand for. And this spreading of free speech throughout more and more nations to the level I speak of here in the United States, in its true form, you know, of the Constitution and Bill of Rights, we do need to see that as one of the most precious things to preserve. And so that's why I do feel that these sort of broadcasts, this sort of media is very important to continue for each generation. You know, so I hope in time to build something which can grow with the audience. And I do encourage people to get in contact, you know. I mean, I have the call-in number there for one. You know, it is okay for, you know, listener I've not spoken to before to call in, to say hello. You know, I mean, it's a new media platform here, new radio station, opening night broadcast, you know. And we'd love to hear from you. I mean, you know, we'd love to hear a lot of opinions, you know, what you think of what's been going on in recent weeks, months. I mean, come on, there's so much out there I could touch on right now, you know. So I'll tell you what, I'm going to do a little station break for a minute or two just to wet my lips. Let me play a little of the theme music there for a moment and come right back after this intermission, folks. It's maybe a minute or so late, but yeah, give it some thought if someone would like to contribute. All right, and we'll be right back. Back, folks. If anyone would like to contact us about possibly being a guest, that would also be an option for future. I know I've had some emails from the listeners of Beyond the Matrix who I didn't get back to in a timely manner early on that I regret. I don't know if any of you out there have something in mind. And of course, you know, from either platform, if you're familiar or a new listener, you know, perhaps you listen to a number of different platforms and hosts out there. Actually, I hope you do. That's another thing. I think too many out there, try to, get these listeners that will only listen to them. I mean, I understand someone trying to build an audience, worried about people straying, but really, no, that's not the way to think. You should be bringing good content all the time, so that they won't stray. And actually, I mean, they should be looking for other points of view and opinions as well, and that's another subtle way I describe the independent media can become more in no man's land halfway toward the corporate media's tendencies is this tendency to just start trying to appeal to as many as you can, no matter how many of your points of view are lost. But really, just the amount also of competitiveness, that we see with those out there, that focus on the profit, I guess, is really what I'm trying to say that it seems to come down to. And maybe the profit isn't even financial. Maybe it's for the ego. Okay, maybe someone can build more listeners at a faster pace if they are in line with certain points they don't completely agree for a while. Oh, that's really not something that I can condone. I can't support that way of thinking. Trying to also limit, just the amount someone goes elsewhere. Suggesting they only focus on what you have to say, you have all the answers. That is what I question. Because, as I say, no one should have all the answers for you, and you should make your final judgment on all matters. And reaching, I would hope, from at least a few, at least a couple, ideally more than two, ideally three or more, different good sources to work from. But, okay, in some cases, maybe you only have time for a couple, but I think you get what I'm saying. Is just, not even expecting that you won't have to do the cognitive work yourself, the introspective work yourself. This is some of what I discussed as well in that essay I had mentioned. I don't know, I'm not really wanting to just read verbatim, on the air. It does seem to go against the whole live format, but very much these sort of tactics, to work against us. But yeah, one of the themes for the show, other than just debut broadcast and introducing you to everything, would have to be trying to stress this concern with the connecting, of people, and including quite a bit who don't agree 100% with one another. Just a good amount of the way is fine, and ideal in most cases, because there's not much to debate or to work out, even if just one is enlightening the other, if you're completely on the same page with everything. It doesn't really make for good radio a lot. When you're interviewing someone, you agree with 100%. Usually, you only need one person to do the talking. But, that's fine. I'm not saying I have a problem with that. I'm just saying that, we do want to be open for debate. It doesn't mean you make enemies, I see this all-or-nothing attitude out there in the independent media. And that needs to end very much. And divisiveness, I guess, would be another theme word for the show. Divisiveness in all its forms. This cult dynamic divisiveness in the independent media, in all these camps, different subgroups. And once again, you can access that article I mentioned in the resources section under articles, that essay, to peruse later. Maybe you'll get more clearly where I'm coming from with some of this. I would definitely then stress these concepts of connecting and being aware of the divisiveness. Now, I did cover a lot of important things, you know, in that essay, but as I say, I'm not going to go through it on the air. I would like to mention, however, the just the statement, you know, that we have for the station on the website there. I mean, just to clarify, as a premier broadcast, at Revision Media, we provide an independent talk radio broadcasting platform, an online publication for people maintaining sovereignty through exchange of information, perspectives, and ideas. I made sure to include the word sovereignty in there, folks. I know how much empire doesn't want you even thinking about the word sovereignty. You know, they don't even want you to think of it being a word in the dictionary anymore, just to be safe. That's how bad, you know, that's how bad it is when it comes to how much your liberties could be threatened in future. I had a little description on the about page of my own show and myself. I could find that appropriate for this introduction show as well. Richard Carey, myself, is the host of Arcane Semantics and an astute observer of the social engineering which encompasses our society. Now, I say astute observer because, you know, I don't know, I just see a lot of people not really paying attention to the ways we're led, you know, to our paths in life. A lot of people just take it at face value and don't question it. I realize a lot of people have other things to attend to on their mind, you know, I mean their job, their relationships, their romantic life, their children. I get that, you know, and it's just though that the social engineering, you know, as I say, has been ramping up more and more. As much as it has been increasing, it has, alongside it had our awareness of so much of this been increasing as well. That's why I couldn't help but mention 2012, because, you know, although some may shrug it off, there are many out there that will agree with what I say on this point. So I think it's definitely worth citing. As far as the rest of the description, though, I've mentioned having identified and resisted many of the dogmatic ideological control mechanisms since an early age. I know I'm really talking myself up here, right? But, you know, I want to make a good impression. And I do have, you know, some validity. I mean, I was a bit of an introverted outsider growing up. Had a lot of good friends, but at the same time, I did, you know, keep with my own activities solo a lot of the time as well. I guess a bit of a technical mind / artistic mind, but I don't know. I certainly seemed to not do what everyone else was doing quite frequently, you know, as far as after school hours. I think that's the best way to put it, you know. I mean, there was a percentage of my time I spent with a lot of my friends, people I knew, different activities, but it seemed less than 50% when I recall, you know, on average. And I think I just, I didn't necessarily do things for the reasons others did as often. And just by my nature, it's not right or wrong, but it led me to question more how society as a whole, you know, can most likely do one thing or another, and how that benefits the very few. Oh, just one thing led to another with just studying psychology along the way and philosophy. Been a big fan of Friedrich Nietzsche. Beyond Good and Evil was the one I've really tried to study a bit, you know. I can't say I've read a lot of philosophers or even a lot of his pieces in depth, but, you know, that book, I will say, being someone who comes from a Christian background but had always questioned all of it, Beyond Good and Evil was something I just found interesting, even the title, you know, right off the bat. But I had, I think, a good variety of influences from a lot of sources, really, from some album artwork and references and, you know, some goth rock music. I became aware of Dante's Divine Comedy, you know, including the Inferno, the third portion being the Paradiso. Inferno is the first stage. But it was very interesting and definitely not Nietzsche. And then I mentioned William Cooper earlier. That's certainly a book I have to give a lot of credit to. Once again, would cite for sure. I mean, I mentioned the amount people do need to question and resist empire and its tyranny. I did mention the factors related to Kennedy having to partially do with the banks, you know. This, as I mentioned, also was something that Adolf Hitler had threatened the status quo with. And this, of course, is a recipe for disaster, it seems, but it's not like it's something we can stop attempting either, you know. It is an important thing. As far as the ways other forces will manipulate unknowingly, I mean, the Christian Zionists are a good example of that. I mean, you know, they don't really even have a motive alongside what their own doctrine is as far as where most of their focus lies. As far as these controls over the currency and the banks, this does always get to the heart of the control mechanisms, you know. I am hesitant to really say much on the topic of religion tonight, folks. I did bring up a bit of my earlier years, and that made me almost touch on such. But, I mean, well, I was raised, as I said, a Christian. I went to a Catholic grade school, you know. But the main motive parents had in my neighborhood was just trying to get a better education than you might at the public school. But did happen to have a, you know, Catholic background to our family, and, you know, they had that in the curriculum where you had to attend the masses for some things, learn, of course, in a class some of their teachings. I guess I never considered myself Christian, but, you know, I see a lot of the valuable teachings and wisdom and philosophies. You can gain a lot, you know, from a lot of these ancient texts from various cultures, you know. So I do not dismiss it or a lot of the positive motives you see, you know, in some of the people who are Christians. Of course, Truthcat Radio has a lot of Christians around their station, but who are also aware of a lot of the social engineering and control from forces of empire, You know, and Christians have very often been, well, active, devout sort of Christians, you know, have always been very concerned with their liberties traditionally in a lot of cases. And of course, Stephen D. Kelly himself, I know, is a Christian. So I'm not, of course, going to, and like I say, this is a good example here. Now, we can talk about these things, you know. Things can even be debated a bit, but everyone can still connect with one another to share the powerful, empowering knowledge we can agree on. You know, and then our masses keep building as far as our resistance to these forces. Now, some people will be completely, oh, sorry, folks, that was a, ooh, that was a no-no. You know, you don't. You don't disturb the microphone that badly. A lot of these forces, of course, are continually at odds with one another, you know. But we really, I think, can stay on a course that's, you know, continuing to move forward. I think this, the whole change lately has been for the better, you know. I see this crackdown lately, though, in the media. They're trying to instill fear. You know, you can't let them. No, that's how it works. Okay, it's not so if you don't believe it. There's a big secret. You know, we even those of us who start understanding and coming to hold these principles still need to remind ourselves every so often of the of you know the truths and their power. But really, folks, you mustn't see a future that is bleak and grim because you are going to facilitate collectively it being conjured into our existence. Rather, you must certainly construct your future with your intentions. Now, it might be a daunting task for one individual, even with the most altruistic of intentions and motives, but collectively, with such potential to tap into a universal sort of consciousness of the instincts of many who know what is right, and right to evolve toward, for that matter. You know, this can be achieved, and I do think it's been occurring more and more already. So I want more to join. I want more to join in. All right. I think this is a very exciting era. As far as that's concerned, I welcome the challenge. All the challenges, okay? Facebook, Twitter, their censorship and political biasness, their hostility toward the independent media. You know, we can beat them at their own game, and we can continue to use their tools against them. All right, and I say we need to double our efforts, and the fun can only be beginning. And that also goes for YouTube out there, you know. I have a simple solution to that one. We move on to these other platforms more and more. Ooh, it's hard to tell what are the best alternatives because I know they always change a little bit. Scene Life was one media platform that didn't really stick around too long. At least last I checked, it was gone. You know, a lot of people were trying to promote it. Even Michael Rivero over on RBN, you know, a lot of people created a profile on Scene Life over the past few years. At least the last 2 years, I want to say. And it seemed like there would be a month or so from when that person created an account where they maybe doing a little posting, snooping around a bit. When you look at their past activity, And then they were gone, like a ghost, you know. The profile, you know, the account, of course, is still there, but and it varied for, you know, different profiles on there. But unfortunately, there are just so many alternatives out there that no one has been really catching on powerfully enough to truly prove a threat to Facebook. Now, I'm aware of how much we just have to keep on, you know, trying, basically, as the best strategy. I think a lot of you can sense that that's the only way to go with all of this. But yeah, seeing life, you know, I did the same thing everyone else did. I admit, you know, it was just a couple months and then I stopped trying. And yeah, you couldn't help when there weren't enough people on there, you know. And now the site's not up. I am assuming that they did not renew the domain, that it didn't take off as well as they wanted, this sort of thing. And I understand, you know.
Well, I'd like to say thank you once again to Rolly Quaid, and to you and all the listeners. We will speak again soon. Transcend the construct. Regards.